I'm going to pray, and we're going to get started. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Father, we thank you that each person could be here. Father, we pray for just that you would just help us to calm our hearts and listen and be attentive to what your word has to say and what the ladies have to say. Father, we just thank you that we can be here. We pray for our children down in childcare or at home with somebody. Lord, we just pray that we would be more like you as we listen and are transformed by your word and by your ways today, this morning. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the speakers. Father, we thank you for each woman here, Lord. May we just be able to take a deep breath and just listen and learn and reflect and just have a moment, Father. May we go home better moms and better wives and be more like you. So we lift this time to you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I'm Elizabeth, and I'm one of the mentor moms, and that is my family up there. And I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes, give just a word of encouragement, a word of inspiration with Easter coming up in a couple weeks. So it made me think about, what is this? Can you tell what this is? It's a sponge. That's right. And that is reminding me of my little grandchildren's. I have four grandchildren. They are the loves of my life. And they are, their little heads and their little brains are sponges. And your kids' brains are sponges too. And I was just thinking about how you have this super unique time in your life when they're very young, that they may not go other places a whole lot. And you get to choose what goes in. You get to choose what goes in their mind. You get to choose what they're exposed to. And it's just a unique and special time. And so I want you to be super inspired and no guilt, no, like, today's a new day, but just to think about the high calling you have as a mom to be able to mold and shape these little minds. And so as we prepare for Easter, I just want to give you a couple of ideas that might inspire you. The first one is just to get your own heart ready. Like, anything that you give your child, the best thing you can do is to have it be an overflow of your own heart. So if you're in the Word of God, then it's going to be natural for you to talk to your children about, you know what I learned today, or you know what God's Word had to say today. So first thing, if you don't hear anything else, you get in God's Word, and that's going to be the best way that you can prepare for Easter. But there's a lot of other things that you can do that might really be helpful. For one thing is just every time you're playing with them, start to bring up the Easter story. Bring up the resurrection and the empty tomb. If you're playing Legos, if you're playing with Play-Doh, you can make it into a resurrection, a tomb, or a cross, and talk about what Jesus did. And make it so that, you know, the verse from Deuteronomy about when you lie down and when you get up and when you walk along the road, like, make that part of your daily life, that Jesus is so overflowing in you that you're talking about it normally, just like if you had, you know, watch the Mavericks all the time. You're talking about the Mavs all day long because it's inside you. And so just to make their regular play into things that you can do. You can even make their food into cute things like that. But I don't want you to feel pressure either. These resurrection eggs, they're getting on their last limb, but they're really meaningful to me because 25 years ago, I made them with friends. We all got together. This was before Amazon, if you can imagine. We had to find all this stuff. But if you've seen them, you can buy them at Logos, but it's just a sweet time to have symbols. And so I just want you to encourage, like, when you see things around, encourage your child with those symbols. Like, do you know that eggs are like new life? Or, you know, why do you think the Easter Bunny, what do you think that has to do with Easter? And it's a long story because I looked it up. But, like, just bring up things, like, even if they don't have to do with Easter. Like, the real meaning of Easter is this. But we still think it's fun just to have bunny decorations or whatever. But just be talking about those kind of things in regular life. You probably all read to your children at least at bedtime or something like that. And this sweet book I bought like at a thrift store, and it's really cute, but it really does talk about like the Easter bunny and buying new clothes for Easter, which I'm a fan of, but it's not necessary or part of Easter. But then this little book is also a hard book, and it really is the story of Easter and the resurrection and Jesus dying on a cross for our sins. And so you want to choose wisely what you read to them. This book I bought, it was like a lot of this stuff is from seeing it on Instagram or whatever. But this is really like talking about the gift of Jesus. And it's Dr. Robert Jeffers from First Baptist, but it goes through the salvation message and asks them if they want to receive the gift. I've got a couple other books. This is even like a Hallmark book, but you just, you know, use wise literature at this time to be able to just naturally bring up the Easter story and what Jesus did for us. I also saw this cute thing. and it's got little figures to go with it. It's wooden, and it's something that they can play with. And you wouldn't have to go buy these things, but, you know, make a rock garden in your backyard, or things you're already regularly doing, you can bring in the Easter message and Easter symbols. So some of the Easter symbols would be obviously a cross. You could also do a scavenger hunt. A cross. You could take a grapevine wreath and make it Jesus's crown of thorns. You could take eggs and talk about new life that we get through Jesus. You can take regular everyday things and do a scavenger hunt, or just encourage your kids, talk about the meaning of those things. You may have seen bendable Jesus, or talked to a friend, Millie Hale, who's a mentor mom. She talks about bendable Jesus. And I hang bendable Jesus on my chandelier because I want them to remember, like, Jesus, not this Jesus, but Jesus is watching over us, the real Jesus, not the bendable one. But it's just a visual reminder to have things in your home. And as you talk about them with your child, as you walk along the road, as you lie down, when you get up, talk about these things. And the best way that you can do it is if you are overflowing with Jesus also. And y'all know I have the illustrated scripture books. I have one for Easter. And this is another sweet book too. The Garden. And the Garden, the Curtain, and the Cross. So just use your time wisely. And it's your children are just little sponges, and they will soak up what you put in them. And so it's just a sweet time to be able to, before they go into the world and they hear from their friends either bad words, or they hear, where'd you get that outfit, or nobody wears those kind of shoes, or, you know, kids can be so mean when they get bigger. So this is your time. This is your time to build up your child in Jesus, teach him the love of God, teach him your love, and just fill yourself up so that what overflows from you is beautiful. So now I'm going to, I believe, let Martha introduce our real speakers.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Yes, our real speakers, not that fake speaker, Elizabeth. I'm not sure where she was going with that. Okay, yes, y'all, I'm so excited about this topic today. We have a very fun and very funny person here to share about fun in marriage. And I especially need to hear this because sometimes I turn into a bump on a pickle. So I am going to welcome to the stage Sophie McFarlane. And if y'all will give her a round of applause, she's got lots of great things to share. Thank you, Sophie. Sorry for the long walk. Here she comes. No, you don't have to run.
Hi, guys. I'm Sophie. Quick background is I have four kids, married to Mac. I have six siblings. We grew up on a farm, and I'm the sixth of seven kids. And so we grew up on a farm, and then we moved to a university campus in Waco. We moved to Baylor. So it was like two completely separate childhoods, which was super fun. I met Mac at Baylor, and he had never met any of my siblings. And we can be kind of like an intimidating bunch for if you haven't met them. Everyone in my family is really loud and gregarious. And like I said, I'm the sixth. And so they're all just on me. And I had never had a boyfriend before. So I was bringing boyfriend home for the first time. And Mac, my husband, my now husband, he was driving from Dallas to Waco to go to this big event. It was actually for my dad and his job. And so it was a black tie event. Everyone was dressed up. And Mac was hustling to get from Dallas to Waco to meet my family and go with us to this gala thing. So if you don't know Mac, this is like a very normal, typical story for him. But there he is. Those are our four kids. That's when they were age four and under. They're so cute. That was so long ago. So Mac is driving, and he runs out of gas in West Texas where you get the kolaches. And so my brother has to go pick up Mac for the first time. This is how he's meeting him, like the idiot boyfriend. He ran out of gas. And so he drives him home, and everybody is there. Everyone's waiting. And Mac at that time was like 50 pounds larger, and he was just sweating. And he met everyone real quick and ran upstairs. And he's trying to put on this tux, and he's like hacking away at his face, and he's shaving, and there's hair all over the sink. And my brother goes to check on him, and he like says he's like Tommy Boy, like trying to get in this suit, and he can't fit and it won't zip. And so my brother goes and gets my dad's tux, like another little black suit thing that he had in his closet. So he goes to get it. He gives it to Mac. It won't really zip, but it'll at least kind of zip. Mac had accidentally grabbed the wrong suit. He grabbed, like, his dad's suit from his marathon days that wasn't even close to fitting. So the first time Mac really met my dad, he was, like, wearing my dad's suit, and he was like, thanks for letting me borrow this. And that just is like a picture of who we are and who Mac is. He is just such a hoot and a half. And there's a thousand stories like that I can tell you, but just wanted to paint a quick picture of who I'm married to. We are talking about fun in marriage today. We're going to try to show a video. It might not work, but it possibly might. Oh, it's sideways, but that's okay. If you just tilt your head, you can see him. Okay, this is back in my family. He just won a guacamole contest. That's him. Okay, there might be one more video. We'll see if this one works. Okay, he's... like banging for what felt like hours, she wouldn't wake up. But y'all actually should do that. That's a side note. But we do Polar Express every Christmas, and it's where we like wake the kids up with instruments and pile them in the Suburban, and he like, you know, does a little hole punching ticket thing for the Polar Express, and we're just getting in the Suburban, driving around looking at lights with hot cocoa. But it's just like a fun, cheap way to surprise them and do that. But that's who I'm married to. My sister at our rehearsal dinner, she put it best. She was like, the first time I met Mac, I thought, oh no, there's two of them. And I don't know if y'all do Enneagram. I don't really do it, but we both tested as sevens. We have pretty similar personalities. And so, I don't know. I would say our bills don't really get paid, but we have fun. So today we're just going to, I didn't prepare any more slides. And so if you like to take notes, go for it. Not that I'm going to say anything earth shattering, but I'm just telling you, I don't have slides. Okay, Proverbs 31. We're going to go through examples in scripture of why I think it's super important to have fun in your marriage. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the days to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her as well and says, many women have done noble things, but you surpass them all. So we're just going to quickly run through some ideas that I've done or that I've gathered on how you can have fun in your marriage. I think you should laugh constantly. Don't take yourself too seriously. Try an activity that you're both really bad at, like ice skating. Like no one's good at ice skating. So try that. That would be fun. Do activities together. Make lists of fun things you want to do together. If you do that Jenny Allen dream guide, show that to him. That's a fun way to just let him read through your, you know, challenges and dreams and ideas. Here's a picture of us karaokeing. I don't know if y'all have been to One Nostalgia, but we like that place. It's super fun. We're both so bad. I think you should go karaoke. Even if you don't like karaoke, just go sit and watch. It's so fun. It's such a fun thing to do together. Make and keep a list of what you love about your spouse. And just remember what you love about him. This came in really handy to me. When we went through a little rut in our marriage, and I'll talk about that later, but I truly pull that out, and I would have to remember, like, what do I love about him, and why did I marry him, and what draws me to him, and that has really helped. So just remind yourself of the friendship you have in each other. Plan parties together, host together. Maybe you already do a Christmas party, which is great, but if you want to plan a party together, I would suggest you do Cinco de Mayo. That's what we do. It's like in May, it's not Christmas when everyone else does it. The weather's great, and it's just more relaxed and fun. And so we always throw a big Cinco party together. We surprise each other a lot. Our whole engagement was really a big surprise. Long story short, I was going to drive to Dallas to surprise him for Valentine's Day. I was living in Branson, Missouri at the time, doing the Kennecuck Institute. And he was in Dallas working. And so we were long distance dating. And I was going to drive to Dallas to surprise him. And he, lo and behold, I didn't know, but was going to drive to Branson to propose to me. So we would have completely, like, missed each other if it weren't for my sister-in-law, Callie Nixon. Some of y'all know her. She sings here. She's Mac's sister, and she just caught wind of it. I randomly called Mac up at the office, and she answered the phone, which never happens. But she was like, hey, Soph, it's Callie. What are you doing this weekend? And I told her the plans. And she was like, oh, sounds so good. And she clicked. She was like, oh, my gosh, Mac. Oh, my gosh. And so she helped completely change plans. And so he knew. It was just hilarious. Like, long story short, I ended up still driving to Dallas. He just acted surprised to see me and made me think that he had no idea. And then he proposed. But we love to surprise each other. And I think that's a super fun thing to do with your spouse. Even every baby I had, I always told him I was pregnant in front of people. And I don't know if he liked it or not, but I never told him alone. I just thought it would be funny. And I think he probably at some point he was like, I wonder if we'll ever have a kid where just I know first. And it just never happened. But one time, the best one was probably, I was pretty pregnant, like pretty far along, probably 10 or 11 weeks. And I knew I had this trip coming up that was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime trip with my parents and his parents together overseas. And so that never really happens. And so I was like, I knew I was pregnant. I didn't tell anybody. Well, I told a lot of my friends, but I didn't tell Mac. And I was so sick, but I would like run to the toilet and throw up without him knowing, or like I threw up on the airplane on the way over there. But that was so fun to surprise him and my whole family and his family together. He, like, one example is we built this house when our kids were really little, and he surprised me with it. It was like a, 1,600 square foot house. We had three little kids at the time. He was in night and weekend school. That's just staying up there the whole time, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding. I like it. And he just surprised me with it. That was super fun. I knew he had bought a lot, but I didn't know anything about the house. And so I don't know if y'all watched that show where they're like, move that bus. And so we had like this big reveal party for the house. That was super fun. Just think of ways to surprise your husband. I had a brief moment of homeschooling, and it was, oh gosh, it was terrible. I think people who can do that are amazing. It's just, it was not a fit for me. And I asked my kids the other day, what did you learn in mommy's homeschool? And they were like, our favorite subject is when we got to watch Emily's Wonder Lab and for science on Netflix. And I was not good at it. And he knew that it was not like, it was super fun because I knew I'd just do it for a short time. It was kind of during COVID, so it was sort of a fog. But I taught them states and capitals, and my shining moment as a teacher, I was trying to help them to remember the capital of Kentucky. Do y'all know what that is? Frankfurt! You're so smart. Okay, so the way I got them to remember that was I was like, guys, Frankfurted in Kentucky. And they just thought it was like the best thing ever, and that was like the only thing I taught them. And so he knew that like that was not my thing, but he still celebrated me, and he like had this like homeschool graduation ceremony, and it was really cute. We haven't done this in a while. We should do this, but y'all know those little table topic card boxes you can get for dates and stuff. We would bring those along just to make date night something to talk about, you know? And we try to save the business stuff for another time. We'll cook together, turn on music, try a new recipe. We did like a cooking show together. Just like on our own, like on our own phone, no one saw it, but that was fun. My brother and sister-in-law, they read to each other at night. They read poetry, and they're very academic, and we don't do that, but I thought that was a really cute idea. If you and your husband are into reading poetry and reading to each other, Mac and I play a game. This is an idea. On road trips, I'll have like Bluetooth headphones that are, noise canceling. I'll turn those on, and he'll turn on a song that he thinks I might know or might like, And I'll just like belt it at the top of my lungs. Because when you're singing with someone, you think you sound so, so, so good. So I'm just like shamelessly singing so loud, but he can only hear me singing and it sounds so bad. And then he plays back the video and it's so funny. Y'all should try that. We do that a lot. That's a really fun game for road trips. And then recently I saw Jimmy Fallon started doing that. I was like, oh my gosh, we've been doing that for a decade. Y'all should try it. Okay, love who he loves. We have both embraced each other's friends. If he has like a crazy cousin or some old college buddy that you just can't stand, I would just embrace them. I don't know. I feel like there's people that we all just wish, like after you get married, they would sort of drift away and like lose their address. But we really embrace those people. He loves my friends. I love his friends. And that's really helped bond us. Like we're Sophie and Mac, we're together. And I'm not saying we don't ever have separate friends, but typically our couple friends, we love to do things with the husband and the wife. And even the people like, you know, kind of he has this old friend that is just like a nut job and he is wild. He's so crazy, but I love him and I just embraced him. And I think that Mac really felt loved by that and still does. And if he loves someone, I think you should too. Go take a class of something new together. Try a new hobby together. A lot of people are into pickleball because they can both do that. If you're having sex, try a new position or a new location. Spice it up. Initiate when you can. Not that you have to initiate all the time, but if you can, some. I think that's awesome. Men love that. Let him be the man. Men are made to lead. one thing I thought of is if you feel stuck in your marriage, which we all will, I would just start with showing more affection. Hugging and kissing in front of the kids. They feel awkward, but now that they're older, I mean, we have a 14-year-old, 12-year-old, 10-year-old, and 9-year-old. And they laugh and they think it's awkward, but I know that they have a feeling of security and that they, at the end of the day, are, you know, glad to see their parents show each other affection. And they've seen the other side, too. We have certainly not shied away from having conflict in front of them. And so they've kind of seen it all. They've seen plenty. So I think they see a marriage that is definitely broken and not perfect by any means, but that we love each other. Share funny stories. I just kind of try to keep a running list. I do it on my phone, but a running list of things I want to tell Mac that day. I think if you do that naturally, that's great. But just to build that habit of like things you want to share with them, it just builds so much camaraderie and inside jokes. And then I just can't wait to tell him things when he gets home from work. Plan a date that he would love. Dallas is a massive city with so much opportunity for whatever he likes to do, whatever concert, whatever show, whatever hobby. We do a lot of dance parties in our living room. We try to have like a State of the Union marriage talk at the beginning of every year. It's been kind of hit or miss, but we've tried to, like we did it this year, and we just talk about things that we want to do together or we want to get better at as a couple, and I think it just kind of resets our appreciation for each other. Play games together. We've really gotten into Sequence. I don't know if y'all love that game, but it's awesome. It's perfect for couples. That's kind of our 5 o'clock game that we play when he gets home. I really believe, especially being married for 17 years now, it is a choice to love him. There are days I don't feel love for him, and I know he doesn't feel love for me. But have y'all read Screwtape Letters, where it talks about how Satan just kind of uses distraction and uses the things that you used to love about your husband against him? And so the things that he did that were so cute at the beginning are now annoying 10 years in. And I would just encourage you and me to continue to just try to find those things funny, try to let those things go, and try to just enjoy them and not get annoyed with the little things. And just try to laugh at them because that does really give Satan a foothold, and we don't want to let Satan use those things to pull us apart or make us so busy that you're just little automated robots at the end of the day. And so I just try to notice the little things about Mac that I love. Volunteer together, serve with each other. Even in the trenches, if you're serving together, I think that helps you just remember what you see in him that you love about him. Recreate your first date. So Mac was my first everything, first kiss, first boyfriend. So we got married on a Saturday and went to our honeymoon, and sex did not manually, physically work until Wednesday. Like, it just took some practice. It just wasn't working. And I don't want to recreate that, but I would recreate other firsts in your relationship, whatever it is. If it's your first date or like your first, I don't know, some big moment or conversation you had that was pivotal for y'all, just recreate those moments in your relationship to help you remember. Work out together. I mean, I hear that's a good thing to do. We don't really do that, but I'm like, I think it's probably apparently great. Day date if you can. We would do this. So I don't know. I was like y'all, you have little babies and you're exhausted at night, and that would help mentally just kind of be more present if we would go on a date during the day. So for us, that looked like getting a sitter during the day while the kids were napping, which sometimes was cheaper because you're just paying her to sit there instead of actually play with them. But we would just go grab a late lunch by his office, and that worked in y'all's season of life. Watch The Notebook. I'm dead serious. We watched it like 3 nights ago, and we're both like, I just feel like if you watch the movie, you will just kind of like hold each other a little longer after. It's just such a sweet, maybe y'all think that's cheesy, but I really would just go watch it. I think it'll just spark a love for each other. You're just not human if you don't like it, okay? I said it. I like it. Be playful. Believe the best about each other. Make homemade gifts for each other. Leave Post-its around the house. Study him in his love languages. Most men, it's typically words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time. That seems to be what men love the most. But study your own husband. And just listen to him. Men are actually, Mac is kind of one of those guys that he probably has a kind of gruff exterior, but he's really just a teddy bear. And I think most men are that way. They're really quite sensitive, as you probably know and can attest to. And so I try to just, if I can tell he's kind of stressed and stuff from work or whatever it is, I try to like, when he gets home, like give him a glass of wine or just kind of, just let the kids go do their thing and just kind of listen. I try to sit there. I'm not great at this, but I try to not interrupt. I try to listen to him and maybe just light a candle or just have something peaceful just where he can just talk, you know, and without any interruptions. Because they're really so much more sensitive than we, I think, even realize sometimes. And they just want to be listened to, too. Some practical advice as I prepared for this and just prayed through what God would have me share. I think all of us, including me, just could do better at just letting things go. I think as women, we just want to be controlling and we want to be nagging and I think at the end of the day, you know who you married. I look at my kids, especially my 14-year-old, and I'm like, you've made that exact face since you were a baby, or you've acted this way since you were a toddler, and I still see it. You know, I just think they come out who they are, and I think we're all hardwired a certain way, including your husband. And so, of course, the Holy Spirit can change people, and people can improve and be better, but at the end of the day, he kind of is who he is, and you are who you are, and so I think we bend and change, of course, but I don't know. I think you know what you've signed up for, and just don't stop loving that part of him now. You know, if it begins to annoy you, just if you loved it back then, just try to fight that now. Mac is extremely, one of the very lovable qualities is he's so forgetful. I cannot tell you the amount of times he has left keys, wallet, cell phone at airports and Ubers. The other day, this sweetest Uber driver, this was like last week, he went to a post office in Memphis, Tennessee to mail Mac his phone. Like, this is just typical week for us. That's just who he is. And it probably would be very annoying or should be very annoying, or certainly was at the beginning of our marriage, but I just have to laugh. I mean, I'll cry if I don't laugh. You know, it's just so, It's just how he is. And so I just have to kind of let those things go and not nag on him and control him. One time we were leaving for a trip, and we get to the airport, and he left a suitcase. And we're already, we're never really on time, and so we're already a little late. And he was like, I think I have time to go get it and come back. So I was like, okay. So he goes home, drives home, goes to the garage fridge and pulls out a Diet Coke and cracks it open and takes a swig and gets back in the car and drives back to the airport. And I'm like, where's your suitcase? And he left it. So twice. I know, her in the back, she's like, what? I'm like, I know. This is what I live with. The amount of passports, cars towed. 2 weeks ago, he left his car in the North Park Mall for weeks. And I was like, in what world would that be okay? We have to fight the urge to not control him and nag on him, because it doesn't change and it doesn't work. And so I just have to laugh. And I do. And I just laugh. One time I've bailed him out of jail, you guys. Like, he didn't pay a parking ticket in Colorado, and we were 1 mile from the New Mexico border. And we were 1 mile away from, like, that state not applying to this issue anymore. And a cop pulled him over, and he was taken to jail, and I bailed him out of jail for not paying a parking ticket. Like, this is just, he's a hoot, and we just got to let it go. You got to let the little things go. This is real scripture, and this is a little offensive, but this is Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless, vain, fleeting days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. So that'll kind of hit you sideways. You're offended in many ways. That you're just a reward. There's just a lot there to unpack that we're not going to unpack. But if you look a little closer at it, or when I looked a little closer at it, it also just takes the pressure off. You know, like, it's a sobering reality that our time here, this side of heaven, is so short. And if you are in Christ, you know where you're going, and you can just enjoy the days you have with them. Just enjoy your husband. It kind of takes the pressure off of all the little tiny things we try to grip. I don't know if y'all are too young for Seinfeld, but it was kind of a joyful, successful show about nothing. And that Ecclesiastes verse reminds me of that, because it just tells me that we can have a full, joyful, wonderful relationship, successful marriage with our husband, and it can kind of be about nothing. You know, we can mark our days with peace and joy no matter the circumstance. Because we know where we're going, we know our time is so limited. And so I'm not saying that you don't go make disciples or that your life has no meaning or purpose, but because I was charged with the topic of fun in marriage, I that's just what I wanted to share, that there's just not a lot of time for just making little things bother you every day, day in and day out. You know, leave room and leave margin for fun. Be available. Mistakes will happen. There will be hiccups in your plans. Things will not always go the way that it's planned. And y'all all know that. I know this room represents hundreds of heartaches that we just can't control. But we can absolutely control how we choose to live our day. And are you having joy? You know, are you worrying? Are you worshiping? How are you approaching the day? How are you approaching your attitude with your husband? So that's just, I don't know. I know I started talking about Seinfeld, but that's kind of one thing I wanted to share, just to leave room to be silly and not be so rigid and so structured that you're not open and available for fun. It can't be all business all the time. Millie Hale taught me that. And that just is in my mind a lot. Especially in Dallas, where it's so fast-paced and this life we live is just wildly busy. I just want to leave room for Mac and us to just have time to enjoy each other and not let Satan rob us of, you know, the joy right in front of you of just kind of nothing, you know, just wherever the moment takes you. Be slower, be less in a hurry, say no to things so you can say yes to him. I think we, you know, can watch the rom-coms and stuff, and they end with a kiss, and it's over, and you kind of want to, or I kind of want to fast forward, like, go 10 years down the road, you know, what's the relationship like now, if they have young kids, or if they don't have kids yet, how are they doing, and what are they relishing in, how are they communicating, and are they having fun? I think so much of dating and the wedding, there's so much hype around that, and then you build this life together that it's not what you pictured. And I would just encourage us all to like really relish the marriage part of your life and not just the, you know, the newlywed or the dating in the wedding era. I would say don't join the bash your husband club. I think as women, we can tend to get in groups and do that and kind of gab and gossip. And it just doesn't honor and edify him. It compromises even how you think of him in a negative way. And so I would really encourage you to talk positively about your husband to others. It lifts him up, even if he's not there. It lifts your thinking of him. And you just don't know in the room you're in what that's going to do to discourage this other friend that actually might be going through something traumatic in their marriage. And women just tend to pile on and kind of piggyback off of each other. Of course, with trusted friends who know and love your husband or your community group, of course, you'll have issues you need to talk through, but that's just one thing I wanted to say about women and how we talk about our husband out loud to others. I would also say just be secure and look to God first. Make him your first relationship. It'll make you a better, more confident and secure and happy wife. If you know where your real identity's from, Mac will fail me, I fail him, you will obviously fail your husband and he will fail you, but God never really does, and your identity is much more than just his wife or the mom of these kids. What's neat about that is I've noticed through the years and seasons where I'm doing that really well, and I know, you know, whose I am. I'm a daughter of the King. It really actually frees me up, and it kind of releases those anxieties to be a joyful wife, to be at peace in my home, to where my home is marked with peace. And I can be released to just enjoy him and enjoy our Creator. I don't know. It's like if you just release it and let it go, those anxieties, those things that fill our mind, the Lord, you see him truly take care of it anyway. So I would just encourage you to build those habits. Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who all has a son in here? So many of you. And I have 3 daughters and 1 son. And I kind of thought I would have, I don't know, 4 or 5 boys. I just am more the boy mom type. I absolutely adore my daughters and love being a girl mom. But I clench my nails into that baby boy, and he's 12. But, I mean, he's my only son. And I would just encourage you with your mother-in-law. You're going to be a mother-in-law one day. And I think just like how we speak about our husband, I think how you speak about your mother-in-law really matters. And I think we can tend to, I don't know, swap crazy mother-in-law stories. And I don't want you to give her that label. She was a mom to your husband. She raised him and she kept him safe to this point and to where he married you. And now he's the dad of your kids. Like, you're going to be a mother-in-law too. And so I would just really encourage you. Part of having a fun relationship with your husband, part of making that easy, is fostering and nurturing a fantastic relationship with your mother-in-law now. I have an incredible mother-in-law. I'm truly blessed and grateful and lucky beyond measure. But we have to work at that. We're different people, and we do things differently, but we pursue each other. So we're close friends because we've practiced and we've worked at it. So even if you have, of course, in this room, I know there are some situations and exceptions to where maybe your husband had, you know, a completely absent mother who didn't, in fact, not raise him at all. But by and large, I think we should honor and just honor your mother-in-law with how you speak about her. And just know, you know, believe the best, assume the best. She's trying her best. It's her first time to be a mother-in-law, too. And you're going to be a mother-in-law one day, too. My friends joke that Madden, my son, my 12-year-old, they're like, he has been on the teat with you since the day that he was born. And it's true. I don't know. It's just something about a boy and your only boy. But I know that one day it's a biblical command. I will release him to his wife. And I feel confident I can do it because I have been praying for his wife. All the time, I pray three things for my kids. Three S's, that's what helps me remember it. I pray for their safety, their salvation, and I pray for their spouse. So if you are regularly praying for your child's spouse, because they're going to be your kids one day too, if you're regularly praying for them, I just think that opens your heart more towards the idea of being a mother-in-law one day and to your own mother-in-law now. And so that's just a really easy way to just, you know, keep the relationship between you and your husband a great one, is to try to have a great relationship with his mom. I'm going to scroll down here a little bit. I just said I would encourage you to thank her, even if you don't have a great relationship right now. Just keep working at it and take the time to thank her. Try it this week. Just call her up, or if you see her, just thank her for having your husband, for bringing him into this world. If that's the bare minimum that she did, she at least did that. And so there's something you can thank your mother-in-law for. Even if she's not a believer, even if she's difficult, you can do it. You can do hard things, and she raised the man that you love. Okay, why prioritizing fun in marriage has been important to us. I think if you don't take fun seriously, it will seriously take the fun out of life. You have to work at fun in your marriage. It takes practice. Having a foundation of fun in your marriage will sustain you when those valleys come, and they will. Hard times will come if they haven't already. The Bible guarantees it. Here's a verse from John 16. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So I'll share more later with my friends what we learned at Reengage, what Mac and I learned. But I absolutely wholeheartedly believe that because we had a foundation of fun in our marriage, that helped get us through this tough time. We had a rut of probably 18 months to 2 years of, it was not fun at all. We could not get on the same page about how many kids we should have. So I would encourage you to talk about that, or you can find me later. But that was difficult for us. And he's one of two, and I'm one of seven. And there was regret, there was resentment, there was a lot there that we went through a season of just feeling more like roommates. And we were committed to each other, but we did not feel love. We did not like each other. We did not feel love for each other. But it was just the foundation that we had built previously of having fun together, of being best friends, of we knew there was love way down deep in there. And so it came back to us. Reengage helped us through that. But I just think I look back at that and I think, gosh, if we hadn't built any kind of foundation of just affection and love and fun for each other at the beginning, who knows? Maybe we wouldn't have gotten through that. You know, I think that we would have because of our faith, but I mean, it just goes to show how important having fun and enjoying your husband is. In closing, I'm obviously not recommending that you just like ha-ha your way through life. I know there's serious things happening in the world and in your own lives, but I would just, again, encourage you to spend your days having joy with your husband, that life is so short and he is your family first. He was your family before you had kids. And we're here just for a really short time. It's just a blip. And when we look back on our life, you know, what will we think about? Will we regret anything in how we spent our days with our husband? I had a friend whose husband died, and I asked her what she thinks about now that he's gone. And she said, "I just remember the good times. I just remember the fun times. And I wish I had let the little things go. I wish I had just enjoyed him more and just kind of taken him in day by day more." And she doesn't remember all the little fights and the boring nights that they had. She just remembers the great memories and the fun that they had. And so I just think that speaks so highly of what kind of memories are you creating with your husband. So he is your family first. Enjoy him. And that's all I got. How did I do on time? I don't know.
Okay, we are going to hear a little bit more from Sophie in a second. We're going to bring a panel up. Thank you, Sophie. Right now, we're going to send it to a little bit of table time. If y'all will you pop up the table time discussion questions? We have a couple of discussion questions, and we'll have about 20-ish minutes to chit-chat amongst yourselves and discuss some of these questions, and then we'll do a little bit of Q&A with Sophie and a couple other gals in just a bit. So enjoy. Okay, ladies, I know these conversations are just really getting started, but we are going to interrupt for just a second, and we are bringing up Sophie again and two more gals who I'll introduce, and we just get to pick their brains a little bit. So I will say, if we have time, that's a big fat if we have time, we may open it up to questions. So if you have a question, consider writing it down. And maybe we will get to them. I hope so. We're always short on time, y'all. We just love to talk here, so it's hard. Okay, so up here we've got Jenny and JC and Sophie. And would each of y'all Sophie already introduced herself. But other two girls, would y'all take a second just to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your family.
So I'm JC Russell. Sophie and I became best friends in college freshman year. And I will say I have been the end of a lot of her and Max pranks. That I could share with you later. But anyways, I'm married to Brian. We just celebrated 15 years. And then I have two daughters. They're 9 and 6. And their name is Blakely and Sadie.
I'm Jenny Wiesel. I guess we're saying how we know Sophie. We met at Apples of Gold 14 years ago, which is crazy. I've been at Watermark for 14 years, married to Daniel for 13 years. We have three kids. Ivy is 9, Van is 8, and Levi is 5.
Okay, perfect. Okay, well, you ladies are here because we were talking about fun in marriage, and we hear that you guys have fun marriages. So tell us exactly the game plan, how we can achieve that. What does that look like for each of you? Prioritizing, having fun with your husband, maybe give us some examples of how you might nurture that relationship with you and your spouse.
So the first thing I thought about is my husband and I have made a priority that every year we get away with each other. It initially started when we were first married. I did corporate event planning, so I kind of had the perk that I got free hotels and airline miles because we clearly had no money. And so we would go, and we realized how much we loved it and how much fun we had and how awesome it was for our marriage. So we have just made it a priority, financially with our budget. So there's a lot of, people sometimes say, how do you travel so much? And I'm like, I live in the same house I bought as a newlywed. We prioritize travel. But we love it. And it's so fun because to get away from, I'm just going to say it, the kids, the chores, the laundry, and to just have your husband's full undivided attention and he have yours is so amazing. And we, it's so funny because there's years that I've been like, wow, our marriage is at the peak. We are just, it's an amazing year, and we'll go on our trip and I'm like, wow, we really needed that. And it's so fun too, because you get to experience new things, and it doesn't even have to be on a plane, in a destination. It can even be a staycation. Even one night away out of your house in a hotel with your husband. And just like the intimacy and the sex that you have is so fun to be somewhere different out of your house. And, you know, I laugh because, and my husband would totally say this in front of all of y'all, like if he had his choice, he would prefer that I wear a tight short skirt or dress every day. And like my legs, I'm too long, not doing that, not wearing those swimsuits. But on vacation, when we're away and we're not around anybody, we know it's like total strangers, I will totally pack those things, and he loves it, and it's fun. And so I would just say, you know, again, maybe even like in lieu of birthday gifts and anniversary gifts, like buying each other stuff, because we all don't need more stuff, take that money and put it towards a hotel stay. Or when your family asks what you want, ask them to give you cash because you want to go do like a fun experience. Or even Dallas has so many, you know, amazing, you could get away for one night and do some fun restaurants or different things.
I feel like Dan and I are in a fun new season of marriage right now because our kids are a little bit older. They're not napping. They're not in diapers. And even our oldest, we feel comfortable going away for like a quick dinner or like happy hour to a restaurant close by, which is a game changer for us. I feel like little things that we do every day that are fun that aren't, you know, a trip or something. We love to wake up in the morning and have our coffee together before our kids wake up. It just gives us time to pray together, talk about the day, kind of get organized and just connect. We also FaceTime during the day. Dan loves to FaceTime, and sometimes he likes to pray over FaceTime, which I always think is a little awkward. But I'm like, okay, we're praying. And I'm like looking at, he's like, he's praying over FaceTime, which is great. But like I got a little off topic. But yeah, I mean, I think keeping things spicy, we bought a house like a year and a half ago that has a pool. And we skinny dipped one night. And I think we have a video. we don't. I'm just kidding. That would be... That would be inappropriate. okay, but I feel...
We're going to have to put, like, an explicit content warning on this talk today. I don't know. Does Watermark do that? We may have to.
Okay. So I feel like every season of marriage is going to look... Fun is going to look different in those seasons. And so whether it's doing small things each day... to connect. I feel like when you're connected to the Lord and you're connected in your marriage, things are going to seem fun and you're going to find joy when you might not if you didn't have that relationship with the Lord and you didn't feel connected. So I feel like all the examples that Sophie gave were awesome and very, I mean, they were great. But I think for each couple, that's just going to look a lot different.
I think that's so helpful. And inspiring. Okay, you just mentioned, Jenny, like y'all are in this new life stage. Your kids are a little bit older. A lot of moms in the room, we can hear them. They still have little bitties and they're like touching you all the time and your body is not your own and you're up at all hours of the night. And so for those moms that really like are in that stage where you're just needed all the time, what are some things that you have done in the past or that you've learned from that season to make marriage fun without adding it to as like another thing on your to-do list?
So I do think, you know, one important thing is to go and do something fun together. It can be as simple if maybe getting a babysitter that is not practical for you if you're in the midst of nursing every 2 hours or whatever. There, I was telling my table, like, there are so many funny, clean comedian shows on, like, Netflix. And, I mean, sometimes my husband and I were like, we just need a good laugh after this week. And, like, we'll turn one of those on. And there's so, what was it, his name, Nate? Bagarski. I don't know how to say his last name, but he's really funny. He's so clean. And then, you know, I also just think like in those seasons, like changing like things up, you know, we can get in such this rut of like, these are the tasks to do each day. So even if it's like, you know, you have this fun date night and it's like, in your living room, like instead of at the dining room table. But then I also would say, I actually like texted my husband yesterday. He's out of town. And I was like, first thing that comes to your head about why we have a fun marriage. And he said unique experiences. So, you know, I do think date nights are so important. And we do not have like a every Friday we go on a date every once a month. Like it happens when it happens. But we usually, when we do it, we do a unique experience. And a lot of times it's something the other one loves. Like my husband loves, he's a foodie. And so for he had his 40th birthday and he wanted to go to this like Shoyo. Have y'all heard of this? It's like, I don't know, you eat like 15 courses of pure raw fish. And that is like my worst nightmare. But I knew he really wanted to do it. And we like went and did it. And I was so proud of myself. A, I did not gag. I was really worried I would gag and offend the chef. but also like, I was like so surprised. Out of like the 15, I don't even know what I ate and I don't want to know. Like there was only two that I was like, ooh, like the others, I was like, I actually like that. And it like, we had so much fun doing it and it was fun experiencing something so different. And then I think he loved that I took on and did something that he loves. He knew very well, like I'm a California roll girl and that's like as far as I go. So I would just say too, just finding different things and unique things, whether you can do so many things that cost money. You know, there's so many fun things out there. Like even Sophie mentioned the table topics, like sitting around your living room in your jammies and having a table topic night that you can do that's just different versus just sitting and like watching a show or like being on your phones.
Okay, you distracted me. But I think that when we had, you know, little babies, kind of a story of our marriage is we had two kids really close together. They're 11 months apart. So that should tell you how spicy our marriage is. So we had these two babies and my husband kind of went through this season of codependency where he would want to go play golf or he would want to go hang out with his buddies, but he wouldn't even tell me that he wanted to do those things because he felt guilty. He wanted me to be okay for him to be okay. And he thought, if I go golf or do something with the guys, Jenny's going to be upset and be hurt and she's going to be stuck at home with the babies, which he kind of created this scenario in his head of how it would go down if he was like, hey, can I go golf? And so through regen and counseling, like we were really able to work through that and support each other in our own habits or our own interests. Like I love tennis. He loves golf. And so encouraging your spouse to do those things, to get away and do those things, and then even joining them in those things. JC and I have both golfed with our husbands. They'll have these little scrambles and we'll join them and it's fun. Like we're not great. JC's much better than me, but it's something that you're doing together. You're getting out of the house. You're not talking about kids or feeding a kid or cleaning up. And it's just a good way to connect outside of the house. And another thing is that's easy and something that I feel like Dan and I have done well is, connecting over content that isn't about your kids. I've been going through the book of Daniel with a neighborhood Bible study, and he's been following along with me. And it's a good thing for us to talk about in the evenings. And it just helps strengthen our marriage. It strengthens our faith. Or listen to a podcast. Like find a podcast that you both kind of want to listen to. Listen to it during the day separately and then come together and talk about it at night. I think just sitting on your phones and zoning out after your kids have gone to bed, that's not going to bear much fruit later. But if you can connect spiritually, emotionally, physically, do everything you can to prioritize that, especially after the kids go down. Because that is going to get you, I mean, much better results than just scrolling the gram after the kids go down. Yeah.
I love that. And I think, too, even I remember that stage where also I was just like, tired. Like the kids went to bed and I wanted to go to bed. And it, like the things you're describing, it doesn't have to be a production. It's not a 3-hour date night. You can like grab some of those conversation cards and answer one question together or have a 5-minute conversation or things like that. So those are all really good points. Jenny, you mentioned, and I know Sophie, you mentioned also when you were talking about just kind of like a rut that you were in for a season, re-engage was part of your story. Sophie, would you just share some of the details around that and maybe some of the things you learned, what that looked like for you guys?
Sure. We, in Re-Engage, the biggest thing for us to learn was forgiveness and how powerful forgiveness is. We kind of adopted this thing that we do with each other where we try forgiveness first. So if Mac offends me, I try to forgive him in my heart first. That's the goal. And then if it's still sticking with me, most of the time, the next day I have forgotten about it and it's not even worth bringing up. But if it sticks with me in the next day or two, I'll bring it up. But because I've already done the practice of forgiving him in my heart first for it and choosing to believe the best about him, then it makes that conversation of reconciliation so much softer and calmer. And that has truly worked. I feel like we get so many marriage tips thrown at you that I don't know. That's just one that truly worked and continues to work for us. And it was like 7 years ago when we went through Re-Engage, and we still do that. So that was like just huge for us. And when you think about what forgiveness really is, it's really just for yourself. You're choosing to withhold forgiveness from your spouse because of something he did, but it really only hurts you. And that forgiveness is like 100% on your side of the ball. You can choose to forgive him. And I would just really encourage that you fully forgive. Christ forgave you. And how silly, logically, when you think about it, if you've been fully forgiven for every sin you've ever committed, past, present, and future, yet you don't forgive your own spouse for something. So that is just, that really hit home with us in Re-Engage, and I try to view Mac as a child of God, and that might sound silly, but that also works. If I think of him, how God loves him and how much God loves him, then it helps me love him when I don't really feel like it.
That's so good.
I guess when our second van, when he was about 6 months old, that's when this codependency issue with Daniel started happening. And I think something that we learned through just counseling and regen was a big part of it was trusting the Lord. Like it for me, it was Daniel like needing me to be okay. But you might be experiencing that. You might want to do something or say something, and you're afraid of how your spouse might act because you just want them to be okay. And communication and planning was huge for us, like just having an expectation of like, hey, I would like to go have breakfast with some girls this weekend, like putting those expectations out there and making a plan was huge for us. And just knowing that, hey, even like things are going to be okay, even if you're not okay. For some reason, Dan thought he kind of was controlling my emotions by withholding information from me. And so it was a tough part in our marriage. But at the same time, like looking back, I'm like, I'm so thankful that we did go through that because we are so much better communicators now. And he feels like he can communicate clearly with me without thinking that I'm going to respond in a certain way. So it really has been a blessing in disguise for sure.
What if I'm really fun, but my husband isn't fun? What if my husband's kind of a square? This is not, I'm not throwing my husband under the bus. This is just a panel question. My husband's fun.
I would say maybe his definition of fun looks boring, but everybody, something is fun to everybody. You know what I mean? God created us to be fun like beings, right? Because God is fun. Because he is. So I would say, like, you know, maybe your definition of fun is, you know, going to this like fun adventure land and your husband, that's his worst nightmare. So I would say find like something. So one thing I was that I had written that my husband and I did is we got a hobby together and it's tennis. Now he did not really want to do it. But I was like, well, all my friends are doing it and it would be so fun. And we have actually had so much fun doing it. Just because it's like something together. Is it probably his favorite hobby? No. But I would say find, like, there's something your husband probably thinks is fun. And maybe like Sophie was saying, I mean, I know her sister-in-law well and her brother, and they probably both enjoy the poetry. Like that would be my, like if my husband was like, let's read poetry tonight, I'd be like, let me go to bed. but maybe let's just say your husband, like that, he enjoys that. Like embrace that. Like, doesn't mean you have to do it every night, but maybe choose to do it once or twice a night if he finds that fun. So I would say maybe find and see what your husband considers fun and implement that and just give it a go. And you never know, you might end up loving it and liking it too. And I just think the connection of sharing something, especially sharing something your husband loves and enjoys and seeing him enjoy that, is the gift like that you receive from that.
I'm going to a concert tonight that I don't want to go to, but my husband wants to go and we're going. So I'm hoping that I end up having a fun time.
Text me later and tell me.
Do you have anything you want to share? I love that. I love that perspective. Okay, we have like 2 minutes, and I would love to the opportunity if anybody has a specific question that they want to ask these girls. If not, I have one or two more questions up my sleeve. Does anybody have anything they're like dying to know? No? I'm shocked. Okay, well, if you are just not wanting to raise your hand, you can definitely come approach these gals afterwards as well, because as you can see, they're an open book. I do want to know, I mean, you gals have had a lot of people go before you and be great mentors and examples for marriage, and I would love to know maybe who those people were, one or two examples of who those people were for you and what you pulled from their marriage that has like influenced or affected your marriage.
I have a question for JC.
Oh.
Did you wear a thong swimsuit on your vacation?
Not thong, but cheeky.
The things we do.
I'm still working on the baby weight. She's 9.
I have, my parents, I asked my mom this question, and she is a wealth of knowledge. Her and my dad are both 75. They turned 75 this year, and they've been married for 55 years. And they have 7 kids, and so she knows what it's like to have several young kids all in a row. And she said, I mean, they never, ever really, like, went out on dates at this age. But they would try occasionally to, I think I have a picture of them if you want to see them. They're so cute. But they would try to, like, put their kids down a little earlier some days. I know, aren't they fresh? Susu and Pops. And they, I think they do a great job of finding great joy in the ordinary life. You know, they make their ordinary mundane life just seem extraordinary because they truly just, they just enjoy each other and they do a really good job. So they would occasionally feed their kids a little earlier so they could have a quiet dinner. They kind of putter around the kitchen in the mornings, and they would do this even when we were young, but they just kind of had their own rhythms that they would, like, talk about the day while they were making their toast and jam and coffee and tea, and she always, I remember her doing this, she said, always let your husband know that you're glad he's home. You know, you just want home to be a safe haven for him when he comes home after his hectic day, whatever has happened to him. We want to provide our husband just a safe space, and someone is happy to see him, you know, and to be with him. My dad said if somebody says something cutting, you could respond very angrily, or you could just take a breath and make a funny face and laugh about it. Not degradingly, of course, but I think that's probably something he does a lot, is before you just jab right back, just kind of try to believe the best and make a joke and laugh and move on. And if it sticks with you, then bring it up later. But my mom said, always keep flirting. Keep the twinkle in your eye. Even if it's really, really dim, it will get brighter. Laugh at their jokes.
even if they're not funny, just keep laughing and they'll get funnier. And my mom loves to make something out of nothing. Like, she's all into the National Day thing. It's like, National Pickle Day. And she's like, got a pickle for my dad. Like, she's just, she's really into holidays and seasons and just making ordinary days special.
I just need to piggyback off that a little bit. I feel like my parents and my in-laws, I have looked up to a lot. My parents, I wouldn't say had a necessarily fun marriage. My dad traveled a ton, and whenever he was in town, it wasn't, I don't think it was very fun. They had a great love for one another, but my in-laws, their marriage looked totally different. They traveled a ton. They really celebrated each other. And even now to this day, I mean, I see that that has produced so much fruit in their marriage. And just having interests outside of your kids. Like, your kids are so great, but it's fun to have things to do when, you know, they leave, when they move out. And so, whether that's serving together, they serve together in this ministry down in Houston, and they spend a lot of time doing that. They golf together, they travel. It's just that has always stuck out to me, whereas my parents never did things like that. They were very much homebodies. But Daniel's parents have always hosted things, opened their home. I think that has always stuck out to me because it was so different than the way my parents were. And I was drawn to that. And so Dan and I are trying to replicate that as much as possible.
Do you want to go, or do we have time? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, okay. I'm honestly saying this not because she's sitting right in front of me, and I actually haven't seen her in forever, but Jeannie Cox, I was part of this Bible study decades ago. You are so fun. But this is what she really taught me, because I am a personality type. So, you know, like, I want everything to look nice and be in order and like have, and I loved going to her house. It was pure chaos. Like, I don't even know if half of the kids coming in and out were hers or not. Like, I couldn't even probably point her kids out. There were so many kids coming in and out, but she would just open her house. Like, sometimes she'd be like, there's some, you know, soup on the thing, or here's some crackers. Like, it was never, but I think she just taught me, and I mean, I really truly mean this, that, like, in life, like, just embrace the season you're in. And whether your season is like kids running in and out or babies screaming, like, embrace it, welcome your husband. Find the moments. It's never going to always look pretty and perfect, or like Pinterest or Instagram. Like, none of those are real anyways. But just to take the season you're in and like love it and embrace it and welcome it. And so I'm just like thankful for that. And I was even telling my table, like, it's so interesting because as your kids get older, your seasons change so quickly. Like, you blink and you're like, oh wait, like, now I have all my kids in school and my husband and I have this morning time. Like, this is new. Like, we can actually talk in the morning or have breakfast. And so I would just say, I know some of y'all are in such the thick, but just to embrace it and let the people come over with the screaming babies, like, be okay. Like, your husband, if you're in sweatpants and a t-shirt, but you want to sit on the couch and cuddle, he won't care and he'll love that. So that would be what Jeannie has taught me.
I have something to say about Jeannie. I've served in Apples of Gold for a while, but one week at Apples of Gold, I was helping, and we're at Jeannie's house, and your son had a concussion, and we, you know, he's on the couch, like, right by the kitchen, and he's just throwing up, and you're just like chopping an onion, and you're like, you okay? And then, like, a doctor comes in at some point, and we're all just kind of like, what's happening here? But it was, to me, that has stuck in my brain, because it's like, it was just so refreshing, because, you know, we're in this beautiful home and you've opened up your house and your kid has a concussion, is throwing up on the couch, and you're just going with the flow. And I think that was so not how my mom was growing up. And so I'm with JC. I love you and your marriage. So
I love the sweet little dedication to Jeannie here at the end. I know. I know. But I do think she is. She's a great example. Our mentor moms are also all four of them are great examples of how their marriage can function differently but still be beautiful and fun. So they are a resource. These ladies up here are a resource. If y'all have any additional questions, we have a few more minutes for table discussion that we can send it back to table discussion. And you guys, let's see, we've got about 12 minutes until we need to depart. So we will let y'all enjoy just a little bit more time. Thank you, ladies, for being up here.